when you get to a company, I would say don't leave too early. Don't just see another company that, oh, they're just going to pay me more money, I'll just go over there. I think a lot of times people, they'll just kind of jump to different companies without ever having stayed there for a good amount of time. I think that can hurt you when you're trying to go to other places and they're like, oh, this guy just was at three other companies and he wasn't even there for a year. Is he gonna leave my company when he gets here? So I think just kind of having a company you've worked for a good amount of time where you've built a foundation, where you've gotten promoted, you've gotten raises, right? I think kind of doing that makes a lot more sense.
Hi, I'm Mark Gagne.
And I'm Chris Corcoran, and you're listening to Tech Sales is for Hustlers. Tech Sales for Hustlers is a podcast where we catch up with Memory Blue alums and reminisce about their start in high-tech sales with us.
Let's go get some, Corcoran.
Gagne, you know I'm ready.
Welcome, James Adeyanju, to the podcast. James, welcome here.
Mark, Chris, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Good to see you guys again. It's been a while since we saw each other in San Jose, so nice to catch up on the same flight, too.
Wasn't that flight delayed on the airstrip because of a bomb threat at San Jose Airport?
Yeah, you have a great memory, man. Yeah, it was. We were delayed on the tarmac for a little bit, and I think I didn't see you guys until you got up to get your bags, and I was like, wait, is that Mark and Chris? And finally saw you guys, and we got that cool picture. I think I was coming back from Chicago.
Yeah, it was right after Christmas. Yeah, right after New Year's.
2 years ago.
That was crazy. Yep. Yeah, the reason why I remember it is one is obviously because I saw you, but two, I'm not a part of many bomb threats.
Same here. I was like, this is pretty scary. I hope it was just a hoax.
One other thing that I really remember about that is I remember being grounded on the runway and we were flying Southwest. And while we were there, I got an email from Southwest giving me like $50 or $100 because of my troubles.
Yep, I got the same thing.
They had no control over the bomb threat, but they still took care of us, which is why Southwest is a great company.
Yeah, great, great customer service. I love it.
For sure. So great seeing you again, James.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you, man. Before we start, I just want to say thank you both for having me on the podcast. And more importantly, thank you for founding Memory Blue. I know when I moved out to San Jose, I kind of got a better chance to kind of understand what founders go through and people that develop new companies. And I think you guys have done a great job and have given a great opportunity to a lot of people, such as myself. So thanks for that and looking forward to chatting more.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into some of your background. Let's talk about you growing up, you as an individual. Tell the listeners a little bit about your story from a very early on, for early age.
My story is probably not super unique, but I grew up on the south side of Chicago, youngest of four brothers and one sister. My parents came here in the 70s from Nigeria. So, you know, really, really tight-knit family, tight-knit community. We didn't have a lot of cousins and things like that. So everything we kind of did was within our family. And really, you know, education was a big part of everything we did. Our parents really kind of pushed that on us. So at a young age, you know, school was always very important to me. I mean, I played basketball in high school.
Hey, James, real quick. So were you all your siblings born here and your parents?
Yep. So we were all born in Chicago. Parents came here in the 70s from Nigeria and kind of settled into Chicago. They knew some people here.
Your parents are badasses, man.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I mean, what I know about you, they did a great job with you. My guess is they did an amazing job with your siblings.
Yeah, definitely, man.
They listen to this. Tell them not to get too upset about me not saying the last name as well as I should have. You did an amazing job for us. I'm happy you're here. So go back to telling us about growing up in sports and, you know, the whole nine. But I wanted to like acknowledge that.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So, you know, education was important. So I always took that seriously. In grade school, you know, I played soccer. It was kind of the first sport that I played. It was kind of really easy and really accessible. I realized I wasn't that good at it, so kind of stopped. Then started to play basketball. It was kind of more of a sport that I could use, you know, more athleticism. And it was kind of, again, widely available in Chicago. And then actually in eighth grade, I started to play football. So the first time I played football, I actually quit before the season actually ended. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't used to all the hitting, but I'm glad I did it because it kind of prepared me for high school. So when I went to high school, I was like, all right, I'm going to play football. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to do my best this time. And one of the things worked pretty well for me in my freshman year at Cary, I ended up playing on all teams. So we had a freshman team, a sophomore team, and a varsity team. I actually played on all three teams. My freshman year, ended up playing a little bit of varsity as well. In my sophomore year, I played on varsity, started, and then kind of my junior and senior year started. Football was really a great kind of escape for me. You know, my brother played football. He played in the NFL, and I got a chance to get a couple scholarship offers. My junior year, I actually made a highlight tape, told my coach to give me all the tapes, cut it up in our video production studio. That was actually my major back in high school, and then I kind of sent it out on rivals.com, and some coaches saw it, started getting some visits, and my first offer actually came from University of Toledo. I almost cried, not gonna lie. It was like, man, this is my first offer. I'm actually gonna get a chance to go to college. I don't have to worry about paying for school. It was kind of a crazy experience. And I was thinking about committing until the following week. I got my second offer from Illinois. It was my first Big Ten offer. And I was like, sorry, coach. He was like, hey, man, don't forget about it. So I was like, no, I got you, coach. And then I got the Illinois offer. I was like, oh boy. So and then the following week, I got an offer from Wisconsin. And they kind of just kept piling in after that. You know, Stanford, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Duke, Michigan State, Michigan kind of coming in. And it was a tough decision. My brother had played at Indiana, so that was definitely on the radar too. But I was kind of just looking for a school that had a combination of athletics, good academics, and coaches that would help me and prepare me not only for football, but life after football. And, you know, Wisconsin kind of checked all the boxes. You had a lot of coaching changes. It checked all the boxes. And I'm really glad I got a chance to go to Wisconsin, be a Badger, play out there, get my degree. So it was an awesome experience for me.
So what did you learn most about playing football?
Oh, man, definitely the work ethic. I mean, when I first started working in my professional career, I'm like, to be honest, this is easy. I mean, I'm used to getting up at 5:30 in the morning, run into I'm about to puke, and then go to class, go to training table, eat, then have five more classes, then go watch, you know, 2 hours of film. I mean, they really kind of just jam-pack your schedule in college. I mean, they make sure every single second you have is you're either with a learning specialist or you're with a tutor or you're at practice or you're at lift. So kind of just work ethic, honestly. And that's the truth. It kind of made everything seem a little bit easier when you compare it in retrospect to what you currently did or what you previously did. You say, oh man, if I can do that, I can pretty much do anything.
So when you were going through college, what did you want to do post-college?
That's a great question, Chris. Obviously, anybody that plays D1 football, kind of NFL is kind of your, that's what I'm going to do. That's the plan. And so when that didn't happen, really for me, I said two things. I know that I like technology and I know that I want to live in California. So for me, that kind of brought me to Silicon Valley. And as far as a career, I actually Googled what are some good careers for people. And Google was my best friend in college. And I saw this article, I think it was on Salesloft or this or HubSpot, kind of talking about sales and what that career entails, kind of reading about it. And I was like, all right, you work with customers. You're kind of an expert in the product. Like, all right, it seems like something that I could do or I actually like to do. I'm pretty personable. I like to talk. So I kind of gravitated towards sales. So I thought that could be a pretty good career for me. And also, I was doing more research and found out that a lot of CEOs, they actually, their background is sales, whether they're a VP of sales, director of sales, they kind of ascended to that level. And also people that are in sales, or excuse me, marketing or product management, they also had a background in sales, right? So it seemed like a career that you could really kind of jump around different areas. So I kind of gravitated towards that.
Okay, so you're at Wisconsin, you're finishing up your degree, you have an interest in moving to California and working in technology and wanting to get into sales. How did you end up finding us, or did we find you? What was the story there?
I found you guys. It was a crazy story. So my last semester at Wisconsin, I literally had one class to finish my degree. So I had so much free time. And for me, this was probably one of the hardest times of my life because I was really nervous. I was nervous about kind of finding that next step. So from high school to college, I had, hey, you know, all these scholarships, pick where you want to go in the country, have at it. Now this is the second part of my life where, okay, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree and I'm not really sure what that next step is. I'm literally going to graduate in 4 months and I don't know what I'm going to do. So the first kind of 2 months, I was kind of just procrastinating because I was so nervous. And one day in March, me and my roommate were talking. He's like, hey, man, you got to figure out what you're going to do, man. We'd actually have arguments about that, kind of going back and forth. So he's like, one of my really good friends. But I was like, look, one day I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit down, spend 3 days, look for jobs and kind of see what I find. So I'm on Indeed.com. And so I'm looking at jobs and I see this company called Memory Blue. It's a big blue elephant. So it kind of caught my attention. So kudos to the marketing team. So I see it and I read the description. And I said, all right, tech sales. Like, this is pretty cool. It seems like something I could do. But the thing that really gravitated me the most towards Memory Blue is the fact that I'd already started applying to a lot of jobs, whether it was Epic or Oracle. And the issue that I saw was I'm a guy coming fresh out of college. I don't really have much work experience, which is kind of naturally speaking. And these companies, 1 to 3 years experience for entry-level role as an SDR or BDR. And I'm like, I don't have that. So it was tough. But the thing I love about Memory Blue is the fact that it was more of a training ground for someone to come in and kind of be an SDR and learn about the tools of trade and kind of get better. And you have the opportunity to work with established companies, companies that are in Series A or companies that have, you know, really cool products. And I said, this is awesome. I mean, I'm kind of get a front row seat. I'm kind of bypassing all the other stuff that comes with trying to work with a company. And I'm kind of getting a front row seat with Memory Blue. So it seemed like a really good fit for me.
So you saw the posting on Indeed and then did you apply? And then how'd that all work?
Yeah. So I saw it. I said, this is a good fit. I applied to it. I got an email back from one of the recruiters. We had a quick chat and then he connected me with Tiana Bell, who's awesome. We had a lot of different discussions, kind of just kind of prepared me for the role, kind of gave me some. It's actually pretty funny. I actually didn't know what the product was at Memory Blue. So she set me up for my first call with Mike Mishler, and I had no idea what the product was, but not realizing in a sense, I was the product. So it was awesome. It was awesome. I hooked up with Tiana and she kind of set me up with Mike and we chatted, did a couple mock interviews and I liked what I saw and they liked what they saw from me. Ended up getting an offer via email, via DocuSign. My first DocuSign ever signing. So it was pretty cool. So I got it and I could see, guys, how happy I was because it was kind of just a weight lifted off my shoulders.
Is this like a University of Wisconsin scholarship offer type feeling or not quite?
I have to say it's probably a little bit better because I saw the money. I was like, all right, here we go. You know, I'm going from, you know, getting $1,000 a month for my scholarship checks. Yeah, I'm making some real money now. Yeah, so it had to be a little bit better.
A little bit. So, James, when was that? How close to you were you to graduation when you signed on?
I was literally 2 months away from graduation, and that's why I was so nervous. It was kind of just kind of bang, bang kind of thing. So, yeah, so I was really kind of just searching for things. And again, Memory Blue just seemed like the perfect fit.
So you accepted, you finished up your degree, and then you had to move from Madison, Wisconsin to San Jose, California. How did you do that? Did you just find a random roommate or tell everyone about your journey?
Yeah, the journey was pretty interesting. So I knew I was going to have to make that switch over. So actually what I did was Wisconsin would give us scholarship money to kind of pay for our rent and everything. So what I would do, I would actually save like 90% of that money. And because I was like, okay, I'm going to use this for my move. So I saved up all that money. And pretty much I went home for a month. I said, all right, I'm going to use this month to kind of get myself situated. So I went on Craigslist. I was looking for roommates. Couldn't find anybody. It just seemed like no one wanted to live with me. I'm like, what's wrong with me? But I was like, you know, I'll take some initiative. So I went out to Craigslist. I put out a post. I'm like, hey, I'm a young guy, fresh out of college, working. I need some roommates. Pretty expensive out here in Silicon Valley. So I ended up getting two guys reaching out to me via email. So we chatted. We did the whole Skype thing. It was kind of before Zoom was kind of a big thing. But the whole Skype thing, chatted. And I was like, all right, these guys seem pretty cool. So we all decided to live together. So we had one guy designated as kind of the guy I was going to set up the apartments. And so I actually wired him the security deposit. And I'm like, I just met this guy. Was that a good idea? So I'm like blowing his phone. Like, hey, man, where are you at? But luckily, we got everything all situated. We got the lease signed. And I ended up living with Brad and James. They're pretty cool guys. Brad was an engineer. James, he worked in marketing. So we lived together right downtown San Jose. And so, yeah. So when I left Chicago, my dad basically dropped me off at the airport. The good luck, son. Hopped on my Southwest flight and man, just flew to California. It was a weird feeling. It was a weird feeling indeed. It was kind of just like, man, I'm setting up on this new journey. I'm not sure what I'm going to find. I'm not sure how it's going to work at Memory Blue, but I'm just going to take the same work ethic that I had in college and kind of just see what happens. I mean, worst case scenario, I get fired and I'll just go back home. That was kind of my thought process. So kind of went out there and that was it, you know?
So you went out there with essentially like the clothes on your back and a suitcase, no car.
Man, no car, nothing, just kind of a suitcase. And then actually, so I didn't have a car. So my brother actually gave me his 2001 Dodge Stratus. He fixed it up. And so I actually put a bunch of stuff in the trunk, like the TV and dresser and all that stuff. I paid him to have it shipped for me. So he shipped it like 2 weeks later. So the first 2 weeks I had no car. So I was kind of just walking around downtown San Jose, going to Target and groceries and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a super, looking back, it was such a fun experience. It's just new when you're just kind of grinding and yeah, it was great.
You said you knew you wanted to go into sales. So that something clicked. And then you mentioned, but you didn't say why. You said you knew you wanted to move to California. You're from Chicago, right? You didn't know anybody. And obviously, after listening to your story, you didn't know anybody in the Bay. So what attracted you to California?
It's a funny story. So my freshman and sophomore year at Wisconsin, we actually went to two Rose Bowls. We played Oregon and Stanford my second year. And just getting a chance to kind of be in California, I said, man, this is a great state. I mean, the weather's awesome. It's not like Chicago where you only have, you know, 3 months of sunshine. And I actually wasn't even thinking about Silicon Valley. Like, I love technology. I love everything about technology. And I wasn't even thinking about Silicon Valley as kind of the perfect place for me. It was the fact that I found Memory Blue, which kind of had the perfect job description for me. And it just so happened that the company was in San Jose.
Yeah. Chris and I tell people all the time, if you want to play in the big leagues in high-tech sales, you need to move to the Bay. With COVID, people are leaving and those things. I mean, that's kind of like the Johnny Come Latelys, I think, in some ways. The fact that you were out there and you perfectly positioned yourself, I mean, there's no better place to be. And we're fortunate you work for us, but like, that's good for people to hear. Because I know there are other people like you who are graduating from school who they want to get in sales. I said, move to the Bay, do it, James.
Honestly, I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I've had friends that they graduated, they kind of went back home, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I just thought there was so much opportunity here. And again, being a guy that loves tech, I just kind of looked at all the companies. I'm like, all right, let's see, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, these are all softwares that I use every day in my own life. All these companies were founded in Silicon Valley. That's pretty interesting. Wonder what's going on over there. So that's kind of my thought process. And like I said, I had moved to Wisconsin, so it wasn't a big deal for me to kind of move across the country to Silicon Valley. And again, the great thing about Memory Blue is that it was almost like college, right? Everyone was sort of in that same kind of situation where they may not live in San Jose. They maybe come from the East Coast or from somewhere in California, and they're kind of just trying their hand at tech sales and seeing what they can learn from the company and how they can get better. You know, so we're all kind of in that same boat.
Talk to us a little bit about getting started, your first day and your initial impressions and what you thought it was going to be and then what it ended up turning out to be.
Yeah, every time you have a new opportunity, y'all, I have to make a great first impression. So I had on my nice little college shirt, my tie, little briefcase. So I go up to the office, and luckily my apartment was only like a block from the office, so it's perfect. So I go up there and I kind of see everybody and didn't know what to expect. Everyone was super nice. I met Mike, met everybody kind of just hanging out on their computers, cold calling, if you were playing pool, on a ping pong table. It was a super cool experience. And before I actually went out there, I actually messaged Timmy. You guys know Timmy Nuega.
Timmy.
One of my really good friends. And before I moved out there, actually, after I got the offer, I remember, well, I probably should have mentioned this. After I got the offer, I reached out to Timmy. I was like, hey, man, how's the job? Like, how's California? And he kind of just gave me the rundown. He's like, look, man, you know, if you work hard, man, you'll be good. It's just like football. And me and him kind of connected because he's also Nigerian and he played football. So we kind of built a really cool bond together. He was definitely one of my mentors when I went out there. I was in the office with the shades on and stuff. Everybody was just super cool. Everyone was super cool. And my first impression was I couldn't have asked for a perfect first job. I just feel like everyone's kind of on my same level. I wasn't intimidated. Everyone was super helpful in trying to get me up to speed. And I just felt like I was at home. It felt like we had this kind of, it felt like we were a team. Happy hours and all that stuff I missed so much once I actually left Memory Blue. I didn't realize that that wasn't a norm. Like, people don't do this many happy hours. You know, I didn't realize that until I left Memory Blue. So you guys are good for the first couple of days.
Yeah. So Timmy, during your first couple of days, I actually was in the San Jose office. And so I remember approaching you and asked you to show me your swim move.
I remember that. And you asked me to do that while I had like a super tight dress shirt from an Express. I sweat. They're like, oh gosh, I got to do a good job here.
I know I was just joking with you when I asked you to do that, but one of my memories involves you and Timmy. You were first getting started and it was lunchtime. The whole office gets up. They're getting ready to go to lunch. They go to lunch. And then as soon as that happens, Timmy walks over to your desk and was like, James, now's the time that you and I go to work. I was like, oh man, I love it. Timmy is teaching James the right way.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that kind of goes back to that kind of football mentality. Even if they didn't give us a leg up, it's just kind of like mentally, you're putting in work while other people are taking their lunch break. And nothing wrong with taking a lunch break, but some people, they do better when they know that they put in more work. And that was kind of my mentality. And me and Timmy had the same process. Put in more work while everyone else is kind of just hanging out and doing whatever they want to do during lunch. We're going to get more leads. We're going to reach out to more people and we're going to better ourselves. And that's kind of the thought process I had going into Memory Blue. And I took that in every company that I've been at thus far.
I got to think, if you're a Division I athlete at a Big Ten school, there's a lot of people that want your position. A lot of people coming for you. So you got to fight, claw, and scrap for everything.
Yeah. And the problem is, it's not just one day, right? You can't just work hard one day and think, all right, I'm good. It's like, it's constantly. You got to work hard every day. Someone's always coming for you. Someone's always trying to take your spot. There's new people coming and trying to take your spot. So it's kind of this never ending cycle. And so you kind of just embedded in your head to say, this is just who I am. I'm just going to work hard and that's it. So that's kind of the thought process that we had.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you did a great job of taking that mentality that you developed over years in football and you just applied it into high tech sales.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing about tech sales, there are times where it can be tough, not only from just kind of daily processes like, you know, lead gen and reaching out, but also understanding your product and understanding the industry, learning about different aspects. And those are all things that take time. Actually, me and Connor were actually assigned to Carbon when we had first started at Memory Blue. Connor Spiegelman, my buddy. Actually, what we did is one day he drove down from Burlingame and we actually spent 2 hours just learning about 3D printing, learning about, you know, mechanical engineering, learning about material science, just 2 hours on a Saturday, just kind of learning about it so that we came back to work and we were on phones. We actually knew what we were talking about. We could actually have other conversations because it was really intimidating. I mean, going to Carbon as my first client at Memory Blue, I went there and I was going to work with people who had PhDs in computer science, mechanical engineering. It was really intimidating. So we knew we had to really step up our game to be on the sales team because we're kind of the first barrier talking to customers. So again, all things that kind of learned from sports and kind of took that throughout every company.
Corcoran asked you about your swim move. I'm interested in that, but I'm more interested in when you developed the game. You didn't have any sales experience before, right? What did you develop? You know, you started to develop at Memory Blue, and what did you continue to develop on the phone? Like your style, your technique, what were you good at?
I think I was good at kind of just being nice, talking to the customer, understanding kind of what they're doing, and just kind of digging for pain. That was one thing that I learned at Memory Blue. You'll just ask one question and say, okay, sounds good, see you later. There's so much more you can uncover. And when you think about prospects, they're kind of like an orange peel. You got to kind of just keep peeling back, learning more. And that's one thing that I learned at Memory Blue, just kind of sitting down. It was always torture on Fridays listening to our calls, but it helped so much because you realize that there's so much more that you can ask and there's so much more that you can uncover. When you speak to prospects, they're not just going to tell you, they're not going to blur out everything. Like, oh yeah, this is what we're doing. They're going to kind of be reserved for the most part. So you really have to understand how to speak on their level and how to get them comfortable. So I think that was one thing that I learned at Memory Blue that I kind of took throughout my career.
Hey, James, so how similar or how different was it watching game film for football versus listening to calls?
Oh, man. To be honest, it's really similar. And I'll tell you why. You know, when you're sitting in and watching film and you know you have a rep coming up, if the rep was bad, you're like really embarrassed because you know the coach is going to call you out and you're like, oh, please skip it or please have another meeting come up. And it was the kind of same thing, listening to calls and practicing. It was like, if you know you had a terrible call where you got hung up on or the guy was like, I'm not the right guy, or is this anything kind of crazy like that? You're like, oh my gosh. You're sitting there, your heart's beating, you're like, please skip me. And then you kind of, but you know, you go through it and you get trained and you know it's not the end of the world and you take that knowledge and you get better and use it for the next call, right? And so it's kind of just like just climbing a mountain. You're getting better and better over time when you do that. So that's a great analogy, Chris. It's really, really similar, actually. I didn't think about that.
So in watching the game film for football, like how did that make you better? I mean, it seems like everyone does it, so it obviously works, but what would you learn by dissecting game film?
So if you're watching another team, you will learn their tendencies. So, you know, hey, I know if this guy's light on his hand, he's probably going to be pass rushing or pass blocking. If he's heavy, he's probably going to be run blocking. You also get to watch yourself and you get to see, that was a terrible step I took. I should probably take a better step, or I didn't come out of my stance really good. I look kind of lazy. I should put some more power in my legs. So just kind of little things like that, because it's hard when you're doing something. You think you're doing a good job, but when you kind of turn back the clock and you actually watch yourself in real time, you kind of get to see what you did and what you can improve on. And it's the same thing with sales. A lot of times you're on a call, you're like, that call didn't go so bad. And you actually listen to it, you're like, oh man, this guy just told me that they use XYZ technology. Why didn't I say that we can do the same thing for cheaper? You know what I mean? So just kind of things like that.
Hey, James, besides yourself and Timmy, who else had some mad game when you were at Memory Blue?
Mad game. Let's see. Joe Reeves was good, man. Joseph Reeves. I actually sat right next to him. I sat right next to Joe, man. Joe was like, he came in like Wolf of Wall Street, man. Just he's a hunter, man. He's a hunter. So I used to listen to his calls, man. And I was like, okay. I kind of take little tips, the things that he did. Joe really surprised me. I'm not sure how much sales experience he had before he came there, but I mean, he seemed like he had been an SDR for like 4 or 5 years. So he was a really good to listen to. Connor's really good. You know, I talk about Connor. Connor's more on the analytical side, but he's a really good sales guy, really good at what he does. Who else? I'm trying to think. Jeff was good. Jeff was showing.
Okay. Jeff. Just a lot of people.
Yeah, Timmy, man. Timmy had his own style, but Timmy was very effective. I don't know how he did it, but he did it for some reason. I don't know how he did it, but he got there, man.
So, James, talk to us a little bit. So you're on this client, Carbon. How long were you with them until they tapped you on the shoulder and said, come and be part of our team?
Yeah, it was actually amazing. So I got the order from Mike Mitchell, like, hey, this is your client, Carbon. Go research them, see what they do. And I went on their website. I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. Like, this company is super cool. And the reason why I thought it was so cool was because most clients at Carbon were kind of software-based, and Carbon was the only like engineering, hardware, software. It was a super cool company. So I was very excited to work with them and really excited that Memory Blue had the chance to win them as a client. And so I got there and literally I was with Carbon for 3 months. I remember it was October 3rd was my first day at Carbon. So I got hired out. It was a great feeling. Paul DeLore, who was the VP of sales at Carbon, he brought me to a conference room. He said, been a great job, James. We want to bring you on full time. Actually, I was getting fired, so I was kind of nervous. I was like, well, not fired, but I thought I was getting let go from the contract. I was like, man, what did I do? I was like, oh, well. And so he brought me to the room and he's like, done a great job. And we have an offer for you once part of the team. And man, it was just a feeling of just joy. I was like, man, I come to California. I'm not really sure what I was going to find. I come to Memory Blue. I get all this training. Go to Carbon. 3 months later, I have a full-time role and making good money, got health insurance, everything's good. And my parents are worried about me. And I'm like, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. And I'm grateful for the opportunity.
So after 3 months, you get picked up by your client.
3 months. And I just put in the work, man. The one thing I remember was I was always the first guy in the office. And you guys might think I'm lying, but I woke up at 5 a.m. every day, took the 101 down to Carbon. They're based in Redwood City. So it was about a 20-mile drive. And I was literally the first guy in the office. Me and Connor were usually 1 and 2. So when we come in there, we just start cold calling. They had just got out of stealth mode. So they had a bunch of leads that we were calling on. We started kind of building out our strategy for doing more outbound stuff. So yeah, it was grind, man. Just getting up at 5 a.m., driving down before still dark outside. And I think they saw that from me and Connor. I think that's also one thing that they liked from us, kind of that work ethic and, you know, first guys in. We were the last ones out. That'd be crazy, but we were the first guys in. We were the first guys in, you know, 6 a.m. That's pretty good.
For almost two decades, Memory Blue has helped high-tech firms tackle their sales development challenges and carve out bigger market share in their space. Building and executing a carefully designed multi-touch cadence that generates a flow of sales qualified leads is the hallmark of our business. Our flexible solutions and talented professionals produce real results that clients can bank on. The end goal of our outreach is scheduling a qualified meeting so you can provide a comprehensive discovery call and bring the sale to a close. This carefully crafted process produces new business opportunities that have converted into over $1 million in closed deals. Hundreds of high-tech companies have trusted Memory Blue to help them grow, penetrate new markets, and test the viability of a new product. If you're interested in learning more about Memory Blue's full sales development services, head to memoryblue.com/sales.
Talk to us about your time at Carbon, the roles that you had, the progression that you made.
Yeah, definitely. So again, they hired me as the first sales development rep at Carbon. So great to be that. And Carbon was awesome. Again, I held a couple different roles. I started out as SDR. I did that for about 2 years. So basically, you know, typical cold calling, reaching out to inbound leads, building out the contact list, target accounts, doing all those things, working with marketing. And the great thing about a startup is that, and Carbon was a startup, there were only about 180 employees when I got there, but they really allow you to make the role kind of what you wanted. It wasn't like you're going to an Oracle where, hey, do this and that's it. We've got other people for everything else. At Carbon, I was doing so many different things where like I was doing sales ops stuff and I was doing a little bit of marketing and making my own campaign. And it was just awesome to kind of learn all that stuff and know that you have the capability to do it if you're asked of it. So that was awesome. So first 2 years, SDR, the last part of me being an SDR, they actually gave Connor and I closing roles. So we were closing universities. So any universities or higher education institutions that wanted to get a 3D printer, we worked with them. And so that was kind of another kind of bonus they gave us because we've been doing well. And so after my 2 years there, I was kind of trying to figure out what's next. I spent a lot of time there as an SDR. I was successful. I talked to Phil DeSimone, who was our VP of biz dev at the time. Chatted away and I said, hey, I'm looking for the next role. I'm really excited about kind of what's next for me. And said, all right, give me some time. We'll find something for you. And it was that. We had one conversation and the next day I got promoted to an account manager on our team. So directly working with customers. So now actually working with our current customers, helping them use our technology to the fullest extent, you know, making sure that they're successful, going out there, visiting them, things like that. So it was an awesome role for me to have more of that customer facing experience and kind of, you know, managing the renewals and things like that. So that was a great opportunity for me. And I did account management for about a year at Carbon. And after that, I got promoted again to a sales director for the West Coast. So basically I had a territory, it was California, Oregon, kind of working with net new customers there to bring in Carbon's technology and find good companies that could really leverage our technology. So did that for a couple months. And to be honest with you guys, at that point, it was coming on 4 years at Carbon and I really loved the company. I mean, I had met some great people there, awesome friends, my manager, Viren, who's a great guy. You know, Dana was my other manager. So again, met a lot of great people there, but I was trying to think about, all right, what's my next role? You know, most people, they don't stay at companies for, you know, 5-10 years. They usually kind of figure out what's the next role for them. And I didn't want to leave, but I was kind of throwing fillers out there. And the great thing about Memory Blue is that, again, you build a lot of connections. And so Justin Henry, who I'd work with, me and him would chat kind of every quarter. Justin Henry, SJN. We would chat like every quarter. And I'd be like, hey, man, you're at Zoom. How's it going? He's like, it's great, man. I love it. Like, okay, cool. Next quarter comes. Hey, man, how's Zoom? Great, man. I love it. All right. Next quarter comes. Hey, man, how's Zoom? Great, man. It's awesome. I'm like, wow. All right. Seems like a pretty cool place you're at, man. So we just chat. And it was around January. He's like, hey, man, they're actually looking for a new account executive. So if you want, I can throw in your resume. I'm like, all right, I'm not really actively looking, but I mean, what the heck? Just throw it in there. So emailed it to him back in January. And I didn't hear back from him until May. So May, I get email from Zoom when the hiring managers reach out to me. So we have a conversation. Everything was good. And I had a conversation with my current manager at Zoom, Marty, and his manager, Mike Hicks. And so we're chatting to kind of tell me about the company. They're kind of telling me the differences in the hardware world, where I'm coming from, software world, kind of the enterprise communications and video collaboration and all the different things that Zoom does. And I said, this is pretty cool. I said, I think this is something that I would love to do. I think this is kind of the next step for me, because one thing I actually wanted to do was kind of look at the software world and kind of see how that differed from what I was doing at Carbon in the hardware world, right? So manufacturing, less companies, not everyone needs 3D printer. Everyone needs software in the most part, right? Every company kind of uses it. So I thought it was interesting how the markets were kind of different. And so I ended up getting an offer from Zoom and was super excited, accepted that. And it was tough leaving Carbon. They were a great company. They're a unicorn company right now. I think they're worth like $2 billion. So they're going to do really well. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like just the opportunity to work at Carbon out of college. I mean, I wouldn't have got that experience if I didn't go to Memory Blue, right? I couldn't just graduate from Wisconsin, say, hey, I want to go to Carbon. They would have wanted somebody who had some sort of training. And that's the training that I got at Memory Blue. It was awesome to see everything kind of come full circle, kind of how one place led to another thing, led to another opportunity.
And so tell the listeners what you're doing for Zoom.
Yeah, definitely. I'm an account executive at Zoom. So I work with our customers in Canada who are interested in leveraging either our video collaboration software, what we're using right now, or looking at how they can have a better phone service or webinars or things like that. So anything that's communications related, I work with them to develop a plan and figure out what technologies work for them.
And what's your patch and your focus?
So I'm focused on Canada. So I have the whole country of Canada, and I'm working in our small to medium business unit. So basically any companies that are 11 to 50 employees are the other companies that I work with. So the cool thing about that is SMB is usually pretty fast, really fast deal cycles. Usually CEO or somebody, or usually somebody on the management board, they're easy to kind of sign really quickly. So it's a really fast sales cycle. So it's kind of just one after the other. So
what muscle are you developing in this role that you hadn't developed before in your previous opportunities, positions, I guess, when you were at Carbon?
Yeah, great question, Mark. I would say negotiating and sort of price discussions. At Carbon, there was no kind of negotiating on price. It was kind of, this is what we have and this is it, which makes sense because it's hardware. There's cost to make that thing. And you got to make sure that kind of the revenue is structured in a certain way. Cool thing about Zoom is you have the opportunity to kind of work with customers and figure out what works for them. So kind of negotiating and figure out, all right, we can do this package. I think this fits within your fiscal year budget. Let's make it work for you. So there's more flexibility in that aspect. And I think that's probably generally speaking for the software world.
You mentioned kind of your day in the, we know what the day in the life is at Memory Blue. You talked a little bit about at Carp. What's a day in the life like now for you?
Day in the life at Zoom. So, well, during COVID, it's a little bit different. So I hop in the shower, brush my teeth, do all that stuff. Then I hop on my computer. Well, the first thing I do is I look at any customers that I've purchased new Zoom software, whether it's online or things like that. And I reach out to them to see if they need any help or, hey, you guys bought one license. You guys need a bigger deployment, because a lot of times people will buy one license, but in actuality, they probably need like 10 to 15, but they kind of just bought one for themselves, even though they're a company. So I do that, reach out to any inbound leads, and then do some outbound prospecting to look at any of the accounts that are in my name that are pretty big companies, like 250 employees that could potentially utilize Zoom services, but they aren't utilizing it to their full capability, and reaching out to them and figuring out, hey, what do you do for your phone system? That's pretty outdated. We can probably help you out, save some money. So things like that. Cool thing about Zoom, we don't really have a lot of meetings, which is awesome. I think they know that we're kind of doing things on a consistent basis, helping out customers and doing things like that. So they kind of just let you kind of do your thing. And we don't have a lot of team meetings or things like that, which is pretty cool.
Knowing kind of what you know now, what would you have told yourself like back in your Memory Blue days about the Zoom job? Like what would you have told yourself to maybe focus more on that or be aware? Like what advice would you have for the current day SDR being you back in Memory Blue?
Well, if they're already at Memory Blue, that's kind of the first step. They're in a great position. I would say, including my Memory Blue, is that you get a chance to work with a lot of different companies. And I think one of the hindrances I had was I had never really worked for a software company. So that kind of worked against me. So I would encourage people to, if you get a chance at Memory Blue, work with a lot of different companies. Like you have a client, but you also have the opportunity to work with other clients through PPMs and things like that. So work with those, take those seriously, learn their technology, and make sure you're multifaceted. So that's probably the biggest thing that I would say.
James, you've been a closer now and you've closed some deals. What's your most memorable deal, win or lose?
It's got to be the first one. First one's always the most memorable. So my first deal I closed was actually at Carbon. It was a university. And so I have been working with them for a couple months. It was close to the end of the quarter. So I worked with my contact over there and they were interested in getting a printer. So I worked with them, got the whole contract signed, went through legal, had some red lines, went back and forth. And mind you, this is the first time I'm doing this. So it's kind of like, this is like amazing to me, right? And the most memorable part was that we got the PO right before the quarter closed. So it was actually New Year's Eve when I got the PO. I was actually in downtown Chicago hanging out. So I got the email. I looked at it. I was like, oh my gosh. I saw the PO. I was just so excited. I'd never seen that much money before either. I was like, man, this is crazy. So yeah, I see the PO and I just email it to our head of sales ops. I'm like, boom, here you go, man. Here you go, Beard. It was a great feeling. It was an awesome feeling. And that was definitely my most memorable deal.
Roughly how big a deal was it, number one?
Yeah, that deal was about $160,000.
$160K. That's huge. And then number two, did you break out the sack dance?
No, I didn't break out the sack. I did some kind of dance. I don't know what it was though, but I didn't break out the sack dance. So
swing the other way. Tell us about like a painful loss, your most memorable loss, the one that maybe got away.
You know what? I was actually pretty recent. I was working at Zoom, actually. I was working with a company. You know, they were interested in leveraging some of our technologies. Unfortunately, we lost to a competitor. They didn't say who that competitor was. Not really sure why we lost the deal either, because during the proof of concept, they said, yeah, Zoom's pretty much, you guys are the one. I don't see anybody else kind of coming in. And kind of out of nowhere, he said, hey, thanks for the demo and everything, but we're going to go a different direction. So that was definitely a tough loss, just because we kind of run everything the right way. And someone says, you know, there's not really many competitors, we're just going to talk about it and they go a different direction. It definitely hurts. So that was a tough one. I think on that particular customer, I think I learned to put more emphasis in the PLC. So really understanding, like, okay, like, I know you may not want to tell me who else you're looking at as a competitor, but what are you looking for in a technology, right? What are you looking for in video collaboration? What are you looking for in a phone system? And also getting a better sense of what their budget looks like. I mean, the pricing is always up there on the website, but I think sometimes when people see the actual quote, they say, oh, well, that's not in the budget. Right. So kind of understanding, having those pricing discussions really early on is very helpful, because you can save a lot of time, right? Just kind of by asking those questions. And so at that point, they're really, everyone's kind of aligned on the same direction.
Hey, James, so looking back, what do you think is the biggest mistake your former Memory Blue coworkers make, either while they're at Memory Blue or after they leave?
I would say while people are at Memory Blue, I would say the biggest mistake that I may have noticed, just not taking the training seriously, right? I think we're all there for a reason, and the training there is super valuable, because you can then take that. Because what people don't understand, when you get hired out to a separate company, they're not really going to want to train you. Not because they don't want to, it's because they may not have the infrastructure to do that, right? They may not. A lot of companies, they expect you to kind of already know certain things. They expect you to know how to use a CRM. They expect you to know how to speak to customers. They expect you to know how to structure deals. They expect you to kind of know these things. And so they expect you to know how to combat objections, right? So all those things, Memory Blue pretty much teaches you. And if you really take that seriously and do the trainings and do the call recording and do all that stuff, you're going to be put in a really good position. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I would say, just kind of taking everything that we do seriously and not skipping any steps. I say after Memory Blue, that's a tough one. When you get to a company, I would say don't leave too early. Don't just see another company that, oh, they're just going to pay me more money, I'll just go over there. I think a lot of times people, they'll just kind of jump to different companies without ever having stayed there for a good amount of time. I think that can hurt you when you're trying to go to other places and they're like, oh, this guy just was at three other companies and he wasn't even there for a year. Is he going to leave my company when he gets here? So I think just kind of having a company you've worked for a good amount of time, where you've built the foundation, where you've gotten promoted, you've gotten raises, right? I think kind of doing that makes a lot more sense, because I've had opportunities to leave Carbon when I was there to go to other companies. But I was like, no, I mean, Carbon is a good company. They have a lot of good things going for them. Why not just stay here, see how I can progress and see where that leads me, instead of kind of jumping somewhere else, having to start all over again. Yeah, you may get paid an extra $10K, but was it really worth it? Was it really worth all the hassle? So that's kind of my biggest, you know, take the training seriously when you're at Memory Blue. And then also when you get to a different company, make sure you stay there for a good amount of time, learn and build a foundation for yourself.
Hey, James, that's some wisdom right there. Who do you go to for advice and mentorship?
Great question. Advice and mentorship. I talk to my brother a lot. He actually works at Microsoft. He's a database engineer there. So he's a super smart guy. Talk to him a lot. I actually talked to my old manager at Carbon, Varen. He was a head of our sales ops team. So I talked to him a lot. He was a great manager there. Gave me a lot of advice, not only on just life in general, but just like in your career, right? How to make sure you're always advancing yourself. I actually talked to Ian a lot, my former roommate at Memory Blue. He was he's actually a recruiter. So he gives me a lot of insight on stuff. And he's actually one of the people that told me it looks really good when you stay somewhere for a long time, instead of kind of just jumping to different places. So he's actually one of the people that kind of say, hey, man, you probably, you know, just stay at one place for a good amount of time and not kind of jump around to other companies.
That's so important, right? Especially where you are. I mean, the distractions are plentiful. That's like, that might be the downside of it. I know I was all excited in the beginning of our chat to talk about the upside of California, but the downside be like shiny objects all over the place.
Yeah, it's hard to get loyalty, you know.
What's important with you in a sales manager? What's important? What do you think someone should look for? You know, if someone's interviewing for a job and the comp looks great, the technology looks pretty good, a lot of times it comes down to who you're working for. What are some of the things you look for in a manager?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. You know, some of the things I look for is, has this person done my role before? So do they know where I'm coming from, right? At Zoom, my current manager is Marty. He's awesome. I can bring him anytime I have a question, anytime I need help with a customer that has a question that I may not be able to answer. I literally just call him to the meeting and he can kind of answer everything for me because he's done it before. He's been in that same position. So someone that's done it before, someone that you can kind of connect with on a friend level. I think obviously you're working. Yeah, you don't have to like somebody you work with, but it's always better when you like people you're working with and you're able to have that connection because, I mean, inevitably, you're going to want to work harder for somebody you like. That's kind of just how it is. So you're going to want to do well and make sure that you're making them look good, right? So I think that, and just somebody who you can learn from. Obviously, when you go to a company, you obviously want to give your services, but on the back end, you want to learn too, right? And there's a lot of ways that you can learn. And that's how you become a better employee. You become better at your job by learning from other people. So I think those are important aspects in a manager.
Now that you're in this role, so you're closing deals, you're hunting for deals, kind of transferred into the software side of the house. What else do you do to kind of keep your skills sharp?
One thing I do to keep my skills sharp, we have this tool called Chorus at Zoom, and basically it records kind of everyone's conversations that they have. So I can literally type in any rep at Zoom. I can look at their calls. So I do that just to kind of understand, you know, what they're seeing. Maybe there's a question that I may get. So I kind of listen to that and kind of listen to everyone's style. Everyone has a different style. So kind of seeing how they do things. And that's probably one of the main things that I do. Also just reading up on our product. I mean, you know, Zoom has a lot of different solutions and the website's kind of your best friend. So it's kind of going to the support page, reading up on new releases, reading up on previous releases that we've made in the past. That's kind of one of the things I do as well.
You're curious. Where does all this curiosity come from?
Man, kind of from football, man. I mean, when you're coming in as a freshman, I mean, there's a lot of new things and you got to ask questions, you know, closed mouth never gets fed. So if you're sitting there and you're acting like, oh, I know everything, I'm good. Those are people that get hurt. I'll tell you what, Chris, to be honest, my freshman year, I was one of those guys. Like we'd be in meetings and I wouldn't ask questions because I was just like, oh, I want to think that I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I kind of sit there and just like, yeah, I know how to do it. But then, you know, I get on the field and we're doing team. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot that play. I didn't step correctly. And our coach went over that. So I kind of learned from that mistake my freshman year. And I just want to ask questions and kind of just learn and be a sponge, you know, because the more questions you ask, the more you'll learn.
And you certainly applied that to your professional sales career.
Definitely. Yeah.
So James, as we kind of come close wrapping this thing up, what's in the future for you? So, you know, we're recording this thing in the heart of COVID coming up on 2021. What's on the roadmap for you for next year and even beyond?
Yeah. What's on the roadmap for me? Well, I literally just started at Zoom in June. So I think it's been about 6 months since I've been there. So I couldn't be more happier to be with a company like Zoom. So I definitely want to continue to hone my craft, learn more, learn all the ins and outs of Zoom. When I left Carbon, I felt like I knew everything about the technology. I felt really comfortable, you know, when I was speaking to customers or things like that. So I want to get to that same point at Zoom. And I think that'll take me a little bit of time, but I think I can get there. As far as like career-wise, that's honestly a great question. And the cool thing about sales is you don't have to be a sales manager. You don't have to be a VP of sales if you don't want to. So for me, I definitely like coaching. So I mean, you know, being like a sales manager would be cool. But to be honest, right now, I'm actually really enjoying being an account executive. I'm kind of focusing on myself. I'm focusing on what I have to do and kind of just worrying about James right now. But I'm sure as the years get by and I'm continuing to do this, I'm sure I'll probably have aspirations of how can I help somebody else? How can I help someone else like how I was helped when I was at Memory Blue or Carbon or currently at Zoom? So I think that could potentially be in the cards for me. But I could probably see myself doing this for a bit longer, a while longer.
We talk about that in training, Memory Blue SDR training, about how the nature of the sales game is always changing and evolving. And there's so many things to master and learn. It's unlike other positions and other lines of a company, because you can be a individual contributor from now until the end of time. And there's no shame in that game, certainly at all. And you actually continue to move up, I guess, the chain in terms of like your earning potential and your responsibility and the size of deals you have.
Yep.
And I think I agree. Yeah. That's a great thing for you to kind of learn and focus on. I mean, you can never stop learning as an IC.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, James, once California opens its borders again, Mark and I are going to be coming to San Jose, and when we do, we're going to track you down Yeah, and we'll have to get together, and we'll have to get together with a bunch of the folks, the Memory Blue alums, and for a happy hour or dinner or something.
I love it, man. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. We'll be like 6 feet away from each other, kind of eating, but whatever it looks like, I'm excited to see you guys again and kind of chat more with the whole group.
Definitely. We appreciate you coming on today, and I love seeing you shine. We were so fortunate to win the sweepstakes for your services coming out of Wisconsin.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, man. And always a pleasure to see you guys. And again, thank you guys for founding the company. I think you've given a lot of people a lot of great opportunities. And you guys should feel really, really happy about that. And I see you guys are expanding to different places. So that's also really, really good to see. And hopefully you guys will find another James out there wherever you guys land next. And looking forward to it.
When we find another James, if we find another James, I'm going to have them talk to you about coming to work here to make sure we can close them out.
All right. I got you guys. No problem. I'll put the clamps on them.
There you go. There you go. All right, James, thanks a bunch, man.
Taking an individual's raw potential and turning them into a thriving sales professional takes the right training. That's where Memory Blue Academy comes in. Memory Blue Academy teaches participants the fundamentals of sales development and all aspects of a lead generation role, regardless of the level of professional experience or background. The course kicks off with a two-day intensive boot camp session, followed by a six-week ongoing educational program. This is the program every single Memory Blue SDR undergoes at the onset of their tenure. The curriculum covers a wide range of topics, including list building, objection handling, effective sales emails, and more. Participants will be shown how to successfully execute a diverse set of sales activities in a very short time, experiencing tangible and lasting skill growth. To learn more and sign up for a seat in an upcoming session, head to memoryblue.com/academy.
Thanks for listening to Tech Sales is for Hustlers. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star review after the beep.